First of all, if you're trying to find out what time it is in God's calendar, you always look at Israel. Israel is back in the land. And Isaiah chapter 11 says when they're back the second time, and that's when they are now. The first time was after Babylon. Now they're regathered the second time. That's it, gang. It isn't the third or fourth. It is now. They are on May 14th of 1948, the state of Israel is reestablished. And the Bible says they'd be in control of biblical Jerusalem. And in June of 67, they regained biblical Jerusalem. The Bible says they'll rebuild their temple, as we've just seen, and they're preparing to do that in earnest.
Now, that is Chuck Missler. He's a popular end times preacher explaining what he describes as God's timetable, God's way of setting his clock for the end times. He says it all keys in on Israel, whether you're talking Old Testament or New Testament. Greetings and welcome to Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Tonight, we're going to talk about the prophecy in Daniel. Now, fellows like Missler will tell you that if you want to rightly understand the various prophecies in Daniel, and then in a broader sense, the end times prophecies of the Old and New Testaments, you've got to keep your eye on the modern state of Israel. Is that the key for understanding biblical prophecy, the modern state of Israel, or does Scripture present us with a different key to understanding Old Testament prophecy, and in particular for this evening's program, the Daniel prophecies? Well, we're looking there at Daniel 2 and 7 and 9 and the latter half of the book. We'll be talking about all of that tonight on Issues, etc. Dr. Paul Robbie joins us here in Studio A. You can join us as well. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Call for the next 2 hours, 1-800-730-2727. Or use our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Paul Robbie is a regular guest on Issues, etc. He is professor of Old Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. He was the formulator of a document called The End Times, and he's author of the Obadiah Commentary in the Anchor Bible Series. Dr. Robbie, welcome back to Issues, etc.
It's good to be here, Todd. Thank you very much.
Let's set some context here before we get into Daniel. How important is eschatology, and in particular, what Scripture has to say, Scripture's message of Christ's second coming, his second advent?
Okay, that's a great question, Todd. And eschatology, of course, is the fancy word for the end times, the study of the end times, the study of the end. You know, when you think about it, we Christians make some pretty radical claims about Jesus of Nazareth, this historical figure, who was born in Bethlehem about 5 B.C. and crucified under Pontius Pilate in 30 A.D. We make some pretty amazing, you might think, ludicrous claims about this Jesus of Nazareth. We say that he, in fact, is the Messiah promised of old, that, in fact, he is the Son of God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh. Our Creator, who became a human creature, one of us, and took our medicine, was crucified, was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and that this Jesus bodily rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God the Father, and now rules as Lord over all things, not only over all nations, over all people, but over all angels and powers and principalities and rulers, and over everything that exists. This Jesus of Nazareth, this historical figure, is Lord over all. And he one day will come again, visibly, in the sight of all people who have ever lived, will be raised from the dead, will be bodily raised from the dead, and they will see him come again in glory, not like the first time, lowly, in a manger in Bethlehem. Not many people even knew about it then, a few shepherds. But this second time, he'll come in glory, and all people who ever lived in history will be bodily raised from the dead and stand before him as their judge. This Jesus of Nazareth, who is shamefully crucified, will judge the living and the dead. I mean, that's pretty amazing when you think about it. That means that standing before this Jesus of Nazareth will be Caiaphas. Caiaphas will have to give an account to Jesus. Pontius Pilate will have to give an account to Jesus. All of the Pharisees and Sadducees that he was continually butting his head against during his earthly ministry, they'll have to give an account to Jesus. Every hero and villain that ever lived throughout history will have to give an account to this Jesus, and you and me as well. He is coming again as the judge of all. This is the grand climax of all of history. Now, within history, these claims that Christians make about Jesus are disputed, contested. There are a lot of people who think we're just nuts. They think, you know, okay, maybe Jesus was a good man. Maybe he was a great man, one of the great men of history. He was a good prophet. But to say that he's God in the flesh, that's just kind of lunacy. And so they think all our talk is just kind of wishful thinking, made up. They dispute our claims. They disagree with us. And there is no way that we can scientifically prove our claims. There's no experiment that we can make that will prove to all people beyond the shadow of the doubt that Jesus of Nazareth is God in the flesh. That's not self-evident. That's not provable, according to human reason. So it will be continually debated and disputed. But on that last day, when Jesus comes again in glory, the debate is over. This is the final buzzer of the game. This is the end of the game here. This is the end of the debate. And then all mouths are stopped. And everyone, and it's clear to everyone beyond the shadow of the doubt that Jesus is in fact the Lord over all. So that final day is the vindication, the public, universal, external vindication of Christianity, the vindication of Jesus of Nazareth as in fact the Lord. That's what it is. It's the vindication, the public vindication. Now, in this, in the current time, we wait for it. And we hope, and we have the promises of God that he is coming again, and we believe those promises. And so this is a day to look forward to. The end times means a lot more than just simply, when I die, my soul will go to heaven. It means a lot more than that. It means my body is raised unto eternal life. It means the entire church, it becomes the church triumphant. It means history reaches its grand climax, the grand culmination and consummation of all of human history. This is the pivotal event. It means the public vindication of the cause of Christ. This is a mega event. This is the day we look forward to, and that's why we confess in our creeds. We await the resurrection of the body and the life of the age to come, and we look forward to Jesus, who will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, and of his kingdom, of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, there will be no end.
Now, Daniel writes about this in the Old Testament. If with Christ established as the sum and substance of biblical prophecy, let's look at one of here in the first few minutes of our conversation at one of Daniel's prophecies. The latter part of Daniel's book, usually from 7 on, devoted to these visions, the first one of four beasts. What does Daniel see here, and what does it really mean, given that Christ is the sum and substance of this and all biblical prophecy?
Well, this Daniel chapter 7 is the pivotal key chapter in the whole book. And this is talking about the second coming, the coming in glory of this one like a son of man that Daniel saw in his vision. And this is the final judgment day. You can see, starting at verse 9, that you have this final judgment day. Daniel is looking, and he sees thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. That, of course, is God the Father. And his throne was fiery flames, and a stream of fire issued and came out from before him, and 1,000,000 served him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Those are the whole angelic host.
We've got about 1 minute here before
and
the break.
The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. So this is the final judgment day, and then Daniel sees one like a son of man coming to the Ancient of Days and receiving the kingdom and the power and the dominion, and all peoples, nations, and languages are venerating this one like a son of man, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion. So this is a promise of that last day when Christ comes again in glory and receives the kingdom and gives the kingdom to his saints, and that final judgment day.
Now, when we come back from this break, folks, those are the general parameters, and most would look at Daniel's prophecy there in chapter 7 and say, yeah, that's what it's about. It's about the second coming of Christ and about the final judgment, about everything that Dr. Robbie has described so far in our conversation. But when you delve into the details, well, as they say, the devil is in the details. When you delve into details and also further into these prophecies of Daniel, that's where Christians, even Christians of goodwill, begin to radically disagree. Some might even disagree with us already that Jesus is the sum and substance of biblical prophecy. We heard there at the beginning of the program Chuck Missler say, no, the sum and substance of biblical prophecy is the modern state of Israel. Now, if you have a question or a comment on prophecies in Daniel, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. We're here to take your phone calls for the next 2 hours as we talk about Daniel's prophecies, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Paul Robbie is our guest, and our in-studio email address. Feel free to use it, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. That number again, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin inviting you to join Issues, Etc. regular guests Gene Edward Veith, Alvin Schmidt, and Angus Manouge for a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar June the 26th through July the 2nd at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Dr. Veith's topic will be the new polytheism. Dr. Schmidt will share his expertise on Islam's threat to the West, and the purpose of science will be led by Dr. Manouge. A Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar is the perfect retreat for Issues Etc. fans. For more information, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848 or check out our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Schwann Center logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org. A Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd at the Schwann Center in northern Wisconsin. 1-800-577-4848. Folks, it's still not too late to send your young man, maybe a son, grandson, or someone in your congregation to Christ Academy 2005. It's on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Christ Academy is this two-week residential program for high school-aged young men. It's this opportunity to experience seminary life there in the high school years. Students can explore the possibility of someday becoming a pastor. Now, Christ Academy takes place this summer, June the 19th through July the 2nd, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, if you or your pastor, if you don't know of a young man in your congregation to send to Christ Academy, why not do this? Offer a scholarship to Christ Academy 2005. The registration fee, $450. That pays for everything for that young man at Christ Academy 2005. It's a great way to plant the seeds for the future of a shepherd in God's flock. Now, just go to our website for more information, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, their number 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Ask them about Christ Academy 2005. Our subject for this hour and the next hour's conversation with Dr. Paul Robbie is the prophecy in the book of Daniel, this Old Testament book. Let's start talking a bit about why those who misinterpret Daniel and other Old Testament prophecies misinterpret it. How can it be, for instance, as Chuck Missler said at the beginning of this hour, that the sum and substance of biblical prophecy is not, in fact, Christ, but the modern state of Israel? What way of is it a different way of reading the Bible?
Yeah, it really is. And here I would stress the proper procedure. And that is that we start with the clear passages of the Bible, and that means that we start with the four Gospels and the New Testament epistles. And those passages set up the framework. They establish the basic structure of the issue. And then we fit books like Daniel and Revelation within that framework. So you don't start with Daniel. You start with the clear passages in the four Gospels and the epistles of the New Testament. And here I want to draw your attention to one clear passage, and that's 2 Corinthians 1, where it says, where Paul says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." So it's Jesus Christ as the yes of all of the promises of God that God has made throughout history, recorded in Moses and the prophets. He is the sum and substance of of the plan of God and the work of God and the promises of God. So that Jesus says, "The scriptures testify to me." So that means that when we read the Old Testament, we want to take seriously, certainly, what it says in its context and so on. But we also want to see that ultimately, Jesus of Nazareth is the consummation and the fulfillment of the whole Old Testament.
Okay, so for instance, jumping ahead to Daniel, I believe, chapter 9, the famous passage of the 70 weeks of Daniel. I'm looking here at a book by Hal Lindsey. He says that these 70 weeks are about the rise of the Antichrist. Would you agree or disagree? Is that how we rightly understand Daniel's prophecy here? Is it about the rise of the Antichrist?
That's one possible interpretation, and this would correlate it with the little horn discussed in chapter 7. Chapter 7 pictures that after the fourth beast, there's going to be this little horn who will speak words against the Most High God, who will persecute the saints, and then comes the final judgment, and this little horn is doomed and destroyed. And the kingdom of God is given to the saints. It's possible then to correlate this, I call him the end times bad guy, the eschatological bad guy, with the little horn in chapter 7. But we can walk through the passage there in Daniel 9.
Well, before we do that, one thing I've noted here is by that reading that these 70 weeks of year are really about the rise of the Antichrist, one has to posit a pretty big gap between some of the verses there in Daniel.
Yeah, no, I would not go with any gap there. In other words, I think it just follows continuously.
Well, okay, why then do those who read this in the stream of guys like Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye and others, why do they say that this has to be talking about the Antichrist? It appears to me, and please, if you would, walk us through this passage, that this could just as well apply, if rightly understood, to the Christ,
right,
not the Antichrist.
Right. Well, I think that too. So maybe we'll just, there are different interpretations of this passage that are possible, and it's really a very difficult passage. And here's where, first of all, I'd want to stress, let's keep in mind the clear passages so that we let our interpretation of Daniel 9 fit the other passages. And secondly, I'd want us to keep in mind chapter 7. So that Daniel 9 can fit in with chapter 7.
Okay, here's a key passage from that whole section in Daniel 9. And tell me how we ought to rightly understand this in a nutshell. "He, the Antichrist, will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice, grain offering, and on the wing of abomination, one will come to make desolate, even until complete destruction, one that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate." Yeah. Now, obviously, somewhat confusing.
Yeah, that's tough.
But many people say that's got to be the Antichrist, making a stop to sacrifice.
Well, the First of all, Daniel is using B.C. language to talk about the future, and so he's talking in terms of B.C. realities. These B.C. realities were like the temple and the sacrificial system, and these B.C. realities pointed beyond themselves to the ultimate A.D. reality. And the A.D. reality, of course, is Christ and the church. So we have to understand this section as B.C. language, but its fulfillment, we'll find out, comes in terms of the New Testament, in terms of Christ and the church. So maybe I can walk through it.
We've got about a minute and a half. Get us started here in about a minute and a half.
Well, Daniel pictures, he's talking about the future from the decree of Cyrus to the end of time. And he's picturing this as 70 weeks, 70 sevens. And those are indeterminate periods of time. And he breaks this period of 70 into three segments. There's first seven, then there's 62, and then there's one. And he pictures the first seven as going from Cyrus's decree to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah. Then for the next 62, he pictures the new and greater Jerusalem, the church, being built, but in troubled times through persecution and so on. And then at the for the last week, he pictures this man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians 2, who will persecute the church for this intensified period of time at the end. And then at the end of the 70th week comes the eschaton, comes the judgment day.
Dr. Paul Robbie is our guest. He's professor of Old Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. He was the formulator of a document titled The End Times. Now, we have several resources on the End Times posted at our website. Go there, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section right there on the homepage, and you'll find these resources, including an article written by our guest in this hour, Dr. Paul Robbie. Those End Times resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, our email address, as we talk about Daniel's prophecy, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. Every year, Christ Academy hosts high school-aged men who desire to learn more about becoming a pastor. The two-week event affords these young men the opportunity to immerse themselves in the day-to-day world of seminary life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They worship in Kramer Chapel, are instructed by the excellent CTS faculty, and enjoy time for recreation and getting to know other men who are considering becoming pastors. Christ Academy 2005 will take place June 19th through July the 2nd, 2005. Registration will open January 1st, 2005. To receive more information concerning this exciting opportunity, call 1-800-481-2155 or email christacademy@mail.ctsfw.edu. 1-800-481-2155 or christacademy@mail.ctsfw.edu.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt. He's going to be one of the speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd, at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Dr. Schmidt, you're going to be speaking about Islam. How great a threat is Islam to Western civilization?
Probably a very big threat, and let me just give you a few examples. It is advocating certain things in its religion. For example, liberty and justice are very, very different among Muslims. And as they gain power, that influence is going to affect Western culture. For example, Christian influence removed the Lex Talionis principle, or an eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth, which is still very much present in the Sharia law of Islam. Slavery is another example. Slavery has been outlawed in the West, in the United States, back in the late 1800s. In England in 1833 and throughout the British Empire. Slavery, however, still in existence in and number of Islamic countries. Moreover, Islam sees nothing wrong with slavery. It's advocated in the Quran. Marriage or monogamy may very well be affected, because Islam allows a man up to 4 wives at one time. In addition to that, he, a given man, may have some concubines. Now, we know from Western culture has very much been influenced by Christianity, and so we have laws of monogamy, not polygyny or polygyny, whatever, however you want to use it. Also, sexual morality may very well be affected. We are already a rather licentious society. But in Islam, for example, the Quran sees woman very much as a sex object. In the second chapter of the Quran, Surah 2, it talks about the woman being a field in which a man plows. A very, well, I don't know what you want to call it, graphic picture of using woman in a sexual manner or the sexual object. Even the sanctity of life may be altered or in some way affected. In Islam, the body is only sacred if you are an Islamic person. If you deny Allah or are an unbeliever or an infidel, the person's life is expendable. And so these are just some of the things that I can see in the future as Islam gains in population in Western Europe, even in this country, will very much affect the, or have an impact on our culture.
For more information about a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd, at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin, 6 nights lodging, all meals provided, at a cost starting at $400, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Schwann Center logo, or call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848.
Fire is a designation for doctrine, and staff is a designation for practice.
Pastor Clement Preuss on the title and content of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff, Lutheran Theology in Practice.
Fire means the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of forgiveness of sins in Christ is like a fire. It shines and it heats us and guides our way. And then a staff is what a shepherd would use to prod his sheep in the right direction. And so fire is a designation for doctrine, and staff is a designation for practice. And the book examines the relationship between doctrine and practice, hence the title, The Fire and the Staff.
Order The Fire and the Staff by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or go to our website, issuesetc.org. There on the homepage, you'll find the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, The Fire and the Staff, issuesetc.org.
The book of Daniel is wrapped around that concept of the 70 years. You know that? The key to the book of Daniel is understanding that this is up against the backdrop of these people being disciplined for all of their sins, and the chief among them, as far as God was concerned, was they didn't keep the Sabbath year for 490 years, and they had accumulated a deficit of 70 years. And he says, you're going to cool your heels there for 70 years.
That's Hal Lindsey, another popular end times teacher, giving his explanation of how to rightly understand prophecy in Daniel. That's our subject as we talk with Dr. Paul Robbie. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks to Nat and Kristen in Sterling, Virginia. Paul in San Mateo, California. Joshua in Milwaukee. Mark and Brenda in Fultz, Illinois. And Paul and Christine in Alaska, they recently joined our monthly donor program, our Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Now, there are all kinds of benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer. Premiums like monthly tapes and books and transcripts. For more information on all of that and the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture there on the homepage of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Click on that. It'll get you to more information there on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Now, you can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by credit card. Our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can join by check. Just write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or you can donate and join the Reformation Club online at our website, issuesetc.org. Preferably consider partnering with us by joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club this week. We're talking about Daniel's prophecies. Dr. Paul Robbie is our guest. Dr. Robbie, before the break, we were talking about Daniel's 70 weeks, and I read to you a section regarding the end of sacrifice. There are many end times teachers who will tell you that that end of sacrifice refers to a rebuilt Jerusalem temple in Jerusalem, modern state of Israel, Jewish sacrifices reinstituted there in that temple, going on a regular daily basis according Old Testament ceremonial law, and then the Antichrist rises up and puts an end to all that. Is that a proper interpretation of what Daniel is prophesying here?
No, they don't understand that the Old Testament, when it talks about the future, uses B.C. language to talk about the what we know from the Gospels and the Epistles as the full realities. So that when they talk about this bad guy stopping sacrifice and offering for a week, what Daniel is, the fulfillment of that is in the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2, who persecutes the church, who tries to hinder the church from worship, because the church is this new and greater temple. The New Testament epistles often compare the church, often talk about the church as this temple. And so Daniel uses uses B.C. language to refer to what the New Testament tells us in A.D. language. So we have to understand the difference between type and anti-type. And the type is the B.C. temple with its sacrificial system. And the anti-type would first of all be Christ, and then also his church and the church's worship. So the fulfillment of this would be how this this bad guy tries to hinder the church's worship. And this is the general picture of the New Testament, that the closer we get to the last day, the more the church suffers persecution. See, what the dispensationalists say is they think the people who are going to be persecuted is the Jewish nation in the Middle East. See, so they're the ones who will go through this persecution. But in fact, the whole emphasis of the entire New Testament is that it's Christians who get persecuted. We're the ones who go through the fire. We're the ones who share in Christ's sufferings. And it's kind of like, if the head goes through the suffering, so also the body. If the head goes through a Good Friday, so also the body goes through kind of its version of the Good Friday. And we share in his sufferings, and then ultimately we'll share in his resurrection on the last day. So the whole point of the New Testament, Book of Revelation, book after book, is that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God, and we are the ones who will be persecuted, and the man of lawlessness will attack us and hinder us, and we're the ones who will be thrown before the lions, and we're the ones whom the government will try to stop us from worshiping publicly around, you know, in various places. And and this whole persecution then gets worse and worse. The fire heats up. We're the ones who go through the fiery furnace. And this Daniel is trying to get his people ready. The people have overly eager hopes. They think, hey, the end is almost here. Jeremiah's prophecy is almost over. And Daniel is kind of telling them, you got to cool your jets. You got another period ahead of you.
Our call in number 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Okay.
Here I'd want to stress that we first focus on the technical term is the terminus a quo, the beginning point of the 70 weeks. And here it's start at the beginning of chapter 9. Chapter 9 takes place in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the Mede. And that would be 539 B.C. Daniel has been reading the book of Jeremiah, and he realizes that Jeremiah's prophecy of 70 years is almost up. So Daniel is kind of excited about the future. This means, Jeremiah's prophecy is almost ready to reach its fulfillment. And then the angel then picks up on that and says, actually, there's another period of 70 to go. And that next period of 70 starts then in 539. So the verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, so that would be 539, the decree of Cyrus to rebuild Jerusalem, to the coming of an anointed one, and we would take that as the Messiah, capital M, a prince, there shall be seven sevens. So, from 539 B.C. until the Messiah, seven sevens. Now, dispensationalists don't want to start in 539 B.C. Why? Because the numbers don't work out that way. So, what they want to do is they want to start at the end and then back up so they get the right number. But the better method, the more plausible approach is start with the chapter. Start with the context of the chapter. Start with 9 verse 1. And then take, and that tells you your terminus a quo. So this is the time of the chapter, 539, and these are 77s. They're not to be understood as 490 years.
One more question, quick question, before we go to our listeners and our phone calls, Dr. Robbie. So the dispensationalists, and we've already heard it several times and mentioned it several times, say, look, Israel is the key to understanding these things. And the signal of the end times for us in this latter generation is the establishment of the modern state of Israel. That's how we know that God's clock is ticking on the end times, and that's how we know what God's going to be doing in the end times. How do you respond to them placing Israel front and center in end times theology?
Where is that in the New Testament, that the modern nation of Israel is the key to Bible prophecy? Where's that in the New Testament? Where's that in the Gospels and the Epistles? See, again, it's a question of where do you start? And you start with the Gospels and the Epistles. You ask yourself, how, in fact, did God fulfill Moses and the prophets? And Jesus always points to him and his work. He doesn't kind of trivialize that and jump into 1948, you know.
1-800-730-2727. That's our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Let's begin talking with Evan in Prior Lake, Minnesota. He listens on KKMS. Evan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for taking my call, but I'd rather stay on hold and just keep listening to your talk on the 70 weeks.
What's your question or comment? I'm sorry to get you off hold.
If you keep on that topic, My other one would be, you talked about, during the intro, you talked about judgments, and I've heard people talk, I think dispensationalists, but talk about like a Bema Seat judgment, a Great White Throne judgment, and I think there's a third one. And I have no idea why they have three instead of one.
Okay,
if there's sheep on one side and goats on another, that kind of, just one setting, be all done.
Okay, thank you very much, Evan. It is a good question. Can you explain, we've only got a minute here before this break, and we might do a little bit on the other side, why does dispensationalists come up with two, three, sometimes more judgments?
Well, see, they want to have one judgment that issues into the thousand-year rule of Christ on earth that they base on a misinterpretation of Revelation 20. And so that would be the Matthew 25, the sheep go into the millennium. And then they want to have another judgment at the end of the millennium, at the end of the thousand-year rule of Christ, and that would be Revelation 20, the Great White Throne judgment. But here they're simply multiplying unnecessarily judgments. There's only one final judgment day, and it's the sheep-goats judgment of Matthew 25 and the Great White Throne judgment of Revelation 20. It's the same judgment day. New Testament talks about this final judgment day by Jesus as the King over all nations and over all people.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. Folks, we are just 6 weeks away from a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, in Trago, Wisconsin. It's a great conference for getting a better understanding between the relationship between Christianity and the culture. That's the focus of this Confessional Christian Worldview Conference in Trago, Wisconsin. For more information, look for the Schwann Center logo right there at our website, issuesetc.org, or call them at 1-800-577-4848. A Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 26th through July the 2nd at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin. 1-800-577-4848.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What do Rick Warren and John Shelby Spong have in common? A lot more than you might think. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues, Etc. journal titled Bible-Believing Liberals, and you can get a free complimentary copy of the next Issues, Etc. journal by calling our resource line 1-800-737-0172. What's the relationship between classic liberal theology and the church growth movement? Find out with the next Issues, Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. Plus, Uwe Simonetto of United Press International has written an article titled Race Relations and Luther's Doctrine of the Two Kingdoms. How can a biblical understanding of Christianity and culture help solve the racial divide in the church? It's all in the next Issues, Etc. journal, 1-800-737-0172. And the Wittenberg Trail feature details how Brent McGuire found Reformation truth at Harvard University, 1-800-737-0172. Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss doctrine and practice. Pastor Clement Preuss of Glory of Christ Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Minnesota will be our guest. So what's the difference between Reformation theology and Pop American Christianity? Can you have evangelical style and Reformation substance? We'll talk about it next week on Issues, Etc. with Pastor Clement Preuss. He's author of the Issues, Etc. book of the month for May, The Fire and the Staff. Now, if you'd like to find out more about this book, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or you can order this great Reformation resource, The Fire and the Staff, by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number is 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called The Fire and the Staff. It costs $26.99 plus shipping and handling. The number again, 1-800-325-3040. It's our Issues, Etc. book of the month for May, The Fire and the Staff. Back to your phone calls, 1-800-730-2727. George listens in Arizona on XM Radio. George, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Good evening, Dr. Robbie. I have a quick comment, a question, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to you talk.
Sure.
I'm a truck driver. I'm 61 years old. I've been taught all my life you don't need to read the book of Revelation past chapter 4 because we're all going to be taken out of here, and so therefore no need to read it. So, but I read it anyway, and I prayed and asked God. I said, you mean to tell me nothing has happened in the last 2,000 years worth putting in the Bible? And he said, George, study your history. So I read, and I found Alexander the Great in the book of Daniel, and I studied left and right of that and brought myself up to the modern day. And quite frankly, and I can, my mind can be changed, but I believe that we're nearing the end of this thousand year reign. And I believe the Gutenberg Bible, when it was printed and gave the power of God's word to the masses, is what found the devil. I'm going to hang up. You comment.
George, thank you very much. And thanks for listening on XM Radio. Always like to have the truckers out there listening to Issues, Etc. What do you make of George's reading here as he's gone back and actually read what people were telling him not to read because it wasn't going to apply to him because he was going to get raptured?
Well, that's the standard dispensational interpretation of Revelation, that what happens in Revelation 6 to 19 happens to the Jewish nation in the Middle East. So it's not really about the Christians being persecuted. It's about the Jewish nation in the Middle East. Whereas my reading of the book of Revelation, which corresponds more with how the Gospels and the Epistles talk, Revelation is on how we Christians will be persecuted. That's precisely why it's written, to warn us, get us ready for it, strengthen us, so that we can remain faithful unto death. And that's on... now, as far as Daniel 11... Daniel 11 does prophesy Alexander the Great and Antiochus Epiphanes, who desecrated the temple in 167 B.C. to 164 B.C., and the Maccabean Revolt and the rededication of the temple in 164 B.C. But Daniel 11 does not prophesy A.D. history. It doesn't prophesy modern 20th century A.D. political history. That's what the Bible does not prophesy.
One more call here in as we talk about Daniel's prophecies. This time, Lance in Austin, Texas, listening on KIXL, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Lance is on the phone. Welcome, Lance.
Hello, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Very well.
Hello.
I'm not a dispensationalist, but I've always been curious about the nation of Israel. I think we could all agree that God brings nations down and he raises them back up. In your opinion, what's going on right now with God having raised Israel back up again at this time in history?
Good question, Lance. Thank you. What do you make of the establishment in 1948 of the modern state of Israel?
Well, I don't think that's a biblical prophecy fulfillment, but it's a significant modern political event. And as to what should the United States position be toward Israel there, I think it has to be decided on the basis of human reason and political science. So, and here, you know, Israel is a good friend of the United States. They are an ally, and therefore I think there's good political reasons for the United States having good relations with Israel, but there are also good political reasons for the United States also having good relations with the Palestinians and with the surrounding countries in the Middle East. So the question, in other words, I would leave the Bible out of it, and I would say political science, human reason decides what the United States policy should be regarding the countries in the Middle East let's leave the Bible out of the discussion.
One more XM radio listener here, John in Ohio. John, welcome to Issues Etc. Our time runs pretty short, John. Thank you.
All right. Good evening, guys.
Sure.
Hello.
I'll try to be as brief as I can. I'm a dispensationalist, and frankly, I've been pulling my hair hearing kind of the straw man argument that's being put forward about my viewpoint. Let me stick to one of them. You mentioned earlier that we throw away the Cyrus proclamation in 539 and instead use the Artaxerxes one in 664 or 644. The reason why we do that is because if you look at the quote there in Daniel 9, it talks about the rebuilding of Jerusalem militarily with plaza and moat. And if you look at the declaration from Cyrus and the one by Artaxerxes, Artaxerxes alone talks about rebuilding Jerusalem. This is in Nehemiah chapter 2, for anybody that wants to look at that, as a more of a fuller, militarily rebuilt Jerusalem. And that then works to, if you start that date, then take the 490 years and adjust the calendar for the lunar years to solar years, you come out to the cutting off of the prince to come, ends up about 33 A.D.
John, we got to give Dr. Robbie a chance to respond here. He says that you're dealing with dispensationalism as a straw man argument. We've got about a minute here for you to respond this hour.
We're talking about the terminus a quo of Daniel 9, and I think, first of all, a face surface reading takes 9 verse 1, 539, seriously, that's the year when Daniel's studying the book of Jeremiah, and that's the starting point for the whole prophecy. For instance, 9 verse 20, while I was speaking and praying, and this is at that time, while I was speaking in prayer, and then Gabriel comes to him and made me understand. And then notice 9 verse 23, at the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you. Well, the beginning of your pleas for mercy are taking place precisely here, as 9 verse 1 says, in 539, in this first year of Darius. And so 9 verse 23 tells us where the terminus a quo is. And then Gabriel tells him, I have come to tell you about it. And then that naturally also then goes with verse 25, from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem. So the terminus a quo is Cyrus's decree. Now in Isaiah 44,
our time is very short.
It says that Cyrus 44 verse 26, God confirms the word of his servant, fulfills the counsel of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah they shall be built, and I will raise up their ruins. And then he's talking about Cyrus here, of course, in verse 28, who says of Cyrus, saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple your foundation shall be laid. So the this decree is not the one in 444, but it's the one in 539.
Folks, we'll continue to respond to your phone calls and your emails in the next hour. The next hour entirely dedicated to your phone calls and emails. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. If you're getting a busy signal, keep trying, because we'll be freeing up the phone lines on the other side of this break. You will not be able to hear this next hour on the radio. It's only on the internet. So go to our website right now, issuesetc.org, and click the Listen Online link you see there. We're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's May the 15th. Write this number down. Give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. We do have free phone lines. We've added a couple phone lines since last week, so give us a call, 1-800-730-2727. And everyone who calls in the next hour with a question or comment on Daniel's Prophecy for Dr. Paul Robbie will receive the booklet titled The End Times. Everyone who calls, 1-800-730-2727. What difference does it make how you read these Old Testament prophecies? Well, we learned that early on in our conversation. If Christ is the sum and substance of biblical prophecy, well, in fact, he's the sum and substance of all the Old Testament and the New Testament. This isn't just about how you read end times prophecies. This is about how you read the whole Bible. This is about listening to Christ our Savior, our crucified and risen Savior, who says, all these scriptures testify of me. And that's why the book of the Bible and the Old Testament prophecies are books of comfort. They point us to Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.